This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This podcast is brought to you by Joy sponsor Pam Ann.
Hello, Melbourne. It's Pam Ann here. I'm so excited. I'm going to be touching down at the Comedy Theatre in August. See you soon. I love you, Melbourne. Mwah.
Set to land in Melbourne this August for two hilarious shows, Friday, August 24 and Saturday, August 25. Get your tickets now at ticketmaster.com.au.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Thursday, the 26th of April. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Tom Morgan. Tonight on the show, we speak to two very different sides of Rainbow Pride and football as Yarra Valley Pride Cup hosts its fifth Pride Cup on Saturday in Yarra Glen. We speak to Yarra Glen locals Paul and Luke Keedle as they look at what this kind of visibility means for their own relationship, as well as helping to create acceptance, awareness, and a stronger voice for young LGBTIQ people. With this year's Pride Cup also hosting a women's football game, we'll also speak to one of the players hitting the field this Saturday, Emily Rowe, who is not only a great footballer, but a transgender woman as well, as we discuss why this kind of grassroots support is vital in helping to change the hearts and minds of many that still need a wake-up call when it comes to LGBTIQ diversity in Aussie rules. And we have our monthly Media Watch segment looking at the highs and lows in Australian media relevant to our LGBTIQA+ communities and our larger fight for equality.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Starting in Yarra Glen in 2014, the Yarra Glen Pride Cup celebrated diversity and inclusion in sport for the lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual and intersex communities by tackling homophobia in football. The local team of proud gay footballer Jason Ball, the Yarra Valley Pride Cup started on a grassroots level with rainbow colours painted on the 50-metre line and diversity and inclusion training for the teams, staff and clubs. This show's support has not only elevated the conversation about LGBTI inclusion in Aussie rules, but been the influence for the Pride matches on a professional level. It was announced at player selection yesterday that footballer and transgender woman Emily Rowe will be playing for the St Kilda Sharks in an exhibition match against the Eastern Devils at Saturday's Yarra Valley Cup. It was announced at player selection yesterday that footballer and transgender woman Emily Rowe will be playing for the St Kilda Sharks in an exhibition match against the Eastern Devils at Saturday's Yarra Valley Pride Cup, as they break another first with women's football match being part of the Pride Cup.
There aren't any women's teams up in that league as of yet, so we've been invited to come up and play and show our stuff as women's footballers and also to express our pride in our sexual and gender diverse identities. It's incredibly important, especially for regional areas as well, where the opportunities to pursue sport as women hasn't really been as much of an opportunity as it has been in the city. So to be able to take a women's football game up to Yarra Glen, to a region that hasn't seen women's football before, hopefully will inspire all the girls and women in that area to also pursue the game that we all should love.
In its fifth year, the Yarra Glen Pride Cup sees netball and football teams go head-to-head in a day of inclusion, awareness, visibility and diversity at the Yarra Glen Recreation Reserve in Yarra Glen. Starting on a grassroots level, the Yarra Glen Pride Cup was the inspiration behind the AFL's Pride matches and has strove to bring issues of inclusivity for LGBTI people in football to the forefront so that everyone can feel welcome at the game.
I guess that's where most of the social and cultural change usually does occur. It occurs at the grassroots. It occurs in our suburbs and our local shopping strips and our school, where people actually get to engage firsthand with people from the sexual or gender diverse communities and see that we're all just regular folks like everybody else. And it's not usually until that groundswell of support from a community level starts to really come to the fore that like larger organisations or corporations will come on board as well. And that's why the Pride Cup is such an incredible movement, with the capacity to hopefully move a Pride Cup game into every single league in Australia and over 150 games across the country. Just goes to show that at community level, we are loved, we are supported, and we're welcome in the game.
Without an open players, couples playing against each other on the field, and a proud show of strength in diversity and gender equality, women's football has shown that it's leading the way on a truly inclusive space for equality in football. And while many have, and happily voiced, their misconceptions about women playing the game, Emily says that couldn't be further from the truth.
I think the biggest misconception is that women aren't tough enough or strong enough to play football, that they should be protected sometimes from the physicality of the game. But my perspective as a transgender woman, where I used to have to play men's football for years and now I'm playing women's football, I can tell you that women's football is way tougher. Seriously, the girls don't hold back, and I get ragdolled playing women's football. That perception that women can't be as tough as the guys is totally incorrect once you're running around out in the field. And once you get to games and see that, you realise firsthand that, now, these girls are serious and they're there to play.
Playing football for the sheer joy of it, being a sports person who's also a transgender woman, is something that Emily hasn't had an issue with. But transgender women playing football has raised a lot of debate in recent months after Hannah Mouncey was rejected from playing in the AFL Women's League this season. I asked Emily what it was like seeing the kind of misconceptions in the media and the public debate when all you want to do is just kick the ball and play the game.
Well, there's so many levels to that, because we're mainly talking about what happened to Hannah when she applied to the AFLW draft. And the curious thing was is that most of the media in Australia was actually supportive of Hannah. I think that a lot of media, especially around sport, have done their research and have had a lot of opportunities to learn about transgender identity and know that for trans women, once we've been on hormone replacement therapy, if that's our choice, that our testosterone levels are in line with those of a biological female, for want of a better term. So the support from the media was great, but that did not necessarily sway the decision makers who ultimately decided that Hannah wasn't allowed to play. But there's also this really disappointing juxtaposition as well when it comes to transgender identities, whereas I've never had anything other than the utmost support in my pursuit of my football career as a transgender woman, but I'm 164 centimetres and 64 kilos. So whereas I comply to a societal expectation of how a woman is supposed to look or how big she's supposed to be, there seems to be a different perception to women who have a taller height or a bigger frame. And that's what really frustrates me, because all trans women are women and we all deserve to be treated the same and be given the same opportunities.
Hannah Mouncey will be attending the Yarra Glen Pride Cup on Saturday and will use her keynote address to educate sports administrators and challenge myths about transgender athletes having a competitive advantage, stating she wants coaches and club bosses to understand the complex health and social challenges for transitioning players. She hopes that sharing her story will break down barriers and is proud to see country football leading the way on inclusion.
Community sports, whether we're talking about football, netball, soccer, hockey, basketball, it doesn't matter what it is, everyone should have an opportunity to participate, even if it's not as a player, but as coaches, as volunteers, as umpires. If you love the game, you should be allowed to enjoy it. And I think we've had a really great focus on the cis gay and cis lesbian community with involvement in sport. But it definitely feels like it's the turn now to move towards the gender diverse community and make sure that we're all welcome too. And I think Pride Cup this year will have a really big focus on that. I'll be running around for the St Kilda Sharks, hopefully having a kick with my friends. And I know Hannah Mouncey will be there too as a special guest. So we'll be up front, we'll be visible and showing everyone that this is our space too. And we'd love everyone to accept us being there. I just think it's a wonderful opportunity and I hope to see so many people there, and I can't wait to see a whole bunch of pride flags, but not just the rainbow flag. I want to see the bisexual flag, the transgender flag, the asexual flag, and all of the amazing people that make up the LGBTIQA+ community to show that we're all welcome at football and we're all going to have an amazing time.
If grassroots footy clubs in country towns can embrace diversity and support transgender players, then it sends a powerful message of hope to people who just want any opportunity to play and watch the sport that they love.
That was Emily Rowe, who'll be playing as part of the St Kilda Sharks at Yarra Valley's Pride Cup at the Yarra Glen Football Grounds on Saturday.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
In 2012, Yarra Glen footballer Jason Ball elevated the realities of homophobia in Australian rules football by publicly coming out and talking to the nation about how he hid who he was in order to feel accepted in the sport that he loved to play. While his teammates had figured it out before he told them and were supportive when he came out, he spent years hiding who he was, afraid of being discovered, when he should have been able to focus on playing footy like everyone else. 2 years after coming out on the football grounds of Yarra Glen, Ball was part of the first Pride Cup, proving that given the chance, football can embrace the LGBTI community and talk about inclusion and diversity with pride and courage. Now 5 years later, the Yarra Glen Pride Cup is the launching pad for a professional pride format in AFL, as well as a blueprint for pride games around the state and country, all because the Yarra Glen community saw that they could do something more within their own community to support young LGBTI people who just want to enjoy footy. Dean Arcuri spoke to Yarra Glen locals Luke and Paul Keedle, a father and son, about what this kind of LGBTI visibility has meant to them in helping to create a more inclusive space within their own relationship.
Football has been a big sport for me in the past. I've always been a sponsor of local footy, not so much AFL, but definitely for local football in the area.
I think it's absolutely awesome that, you know, this is being recognised. It's great for all of that community to be finally heard. It was an awesome incentive of Jason to actually come out and make something of it. And I think it's great. I've got a gay son, Luke, who was very, I suppose, embarrassed in many different ways about coming out. Everybody says that it's coming out. It shouldn't actually be that it's coming out. It's actually that, you know, these people have got to have a voice. And they're just a normal human being like everyone else.
Paul Keedle lives in Yarra Glen and is a proud father of Luke, who came out to his father as a gay man when he was in year 10. Now Luke's 19 years old and is proud of the support his father has thrown behind the Yarra Valley Pride Cup, as it helps to create a space for him to be able to stand tall and be proud of who he is in his own community.
I came out when I was in year 8. My mum came out in year 10 to my dad, and I've been out ever since. Yeah, I've been out my whole life. My sexuality was never really questioned to me. I kind of never really had to come out to myself because liking boys was kind of just like my thing. I remember when I was a kid being, I guess, like knowing in my own that I was a gay male. I certainly thought that sporting for me wasn't going to be my thing, like purely based on my, I guess you could say femininity, but I'm not sure, like, if that's the right word, but I'm going to use that one anyway. Honestly, like, I think it's brilliant. It makes me personally feel, with the recognition and the acceptance and the awareness of gay men and women playing sport, it makes sport, I want to say gender fluid, it makes sporting a lot more gender fluid these days. Instead of, like, football just being, like, a man thing, you know, there are a lot of women, too, playing like football, and there's men playing netball and stuff like that. So sport has definitely taken that step further in straying away from gender roles and stuff like that and getting involved in roles with, you know, men and women playing both sports, but also men and women coming out and being like proud of their sexuality as well. I never actually had any major like gay roles in my life. I didn't really have anyone to look up to. Not that I, like, really ever felt the need that I had to look up to anyone, but there was never really any, like, actually, I can't think of one name of any out guy that I knew that was, like, older than me that I could, like, look up to and things like that. So I feel like I was a little bit secluded. And, you know, recently I've just been getting into the whole, like, gay pride thing and getting into the gay culture. You know, as soon as I turned 18, I was able to go out to gay clubs and stuff like that. But for a while, I was very isolated from the whole gay pride thing just because there wasn't much of it around me. Like, I didn't have that stuff to, you know, I guess with social media, I could look into it and stuff like that. But there wasn't any, like, pride marches or anything too crazy. And so with the pride march, it actually is definitely going to be a major development in regional gay communities and stuff like that. Because we, like, in Yarra Glen, we certainly don't have anything else like it.
through the Pride Cup, the Yarra Glen community openly talked about LGBTIQ inclusion and diversity and about issues that face young LGBTIQ people today, because it was something that one of their own community was going through and speaking about publicly. And that helped Paul to reach out for the support and advice he needed when his son came out of the closet.
You know, it gave me some local resources that I could actually use. I spoke to another parent who I knew his son was already gay. We had a couple of drinks together and had a chat. He came to me when he found out that his son was gay. So as a father, traditionally, gays in the community have always been frowned upon for whatever reason. And I think that's an old thing that really people in today's community have to understand that, you know what, these guys have had to be behind closed doors for such a long time, and it's been almost, you know, probably fairly degrading for them. It's definitely in sport, it's in business, you know. Everybody deals with people every day differently. Why do we judge them differently? We don't. We shouldn't have to judge them differently, you know. We look after the disabled communities, we should look after the gay community. We look after the Aboriginal community, we should look after the gay community. There should be nothing that actually differentiates it. It should be that everybody's got equal rights.
This year, Jason Ball launched a crowdfunding campaign to support the rollout of rainbow-themed Pride Cups to 150 AFL clubs around the country, with 11 games happening across Victoria in 2018. But getting behind the original Pride Cup that started in Yarra Glen is something Paul is very proud of, having attended it every year for the past 5 years.
This year I've actually, you know, my business has actually sponsored Yarra Glen Tally. I think that it's been a thing that I've been wanting to do. I think it's a great incentive that we can actually sponsor it. I've always been involved in the local football, and yes, I have always been going to the Pride Cup. I would like that media get behind these events. You know, and I think that Joy FM are doing an excellent idea. Joy FM probably needs some more support from organisations and businesses to be able to actually be seen and be heard as well. I think that the government probably actually need to, you know, they made such a debacle out of the gay vote, and it was such a thing in the media for so long that they actually need to stand up and be accountable for more support into the community as well. Not just about politics, it actually needs to be that there needs to be support for these guys and girls, or bisexuals, to come out and be supported in many different ways. Some people see it as an illness, or some people frown upon it. It needs to be supported. It's not easy. I don't know how hard it is. Luke, my son, has tried to tell me how hard it is, but because I'm not in that space, I don't know. So I think there needs to be a lot more support for probably families that don't understand it. I know of kids who have actually been, their parents have frowned upon them and kicked them out. And that's pretty awful that you would actually turn your back on your children and run away from such a choice that they've made in their life.
It's about more than just standing up for the rights of his son and others. The Pride Cup has given Paul and Luke a way to enjoy the game together, something Paul is really looking forward to at the game on Saturday.
This is awesome because, you know, Luke and I can actually enjoy this together. I mean, look, I enjoy many different things with Luke. I think this is actually a thing where, you know, Luke, from a little boy, did Auskick and that sort of stuff. He never actually got into the footy club. His brother was more masculine and got right into football and those sorts of things. As a father, you probably think, you know, I want my kids to play footy or ride motorbikes and do this and do the tough things and the masculine things. Luke wasn't in that space from a very early age. And I think this is awesome for him and I to be able to enjoy such a great day together. And that's why, you know, I've decided to sponsor it. And Luke's got behind me and saying, this is awesome, Dad. You know, like he's put posts on his Facebook and those sorts of things to say, you know, I'm really proud of my dad and I want people to come along and support, you know, the gay community and the Pride Cup, which I think is just tremendous that him and I can actually enjoy something together. He'll have friends over and that sort of stuff and we'll socialise and all those sorts of things. But in this headspace or in this space of being gay, I haven't actually been able to, I suppose, co-enjoy together that community with him because I haven't been a part of it before and he has. So I think it's awesome that we can both enjoy it at such a big event. And something that I'm pretty passionate about is local footy, and I hope that other communities get behind it as well as also, you know, the national leagues do as well.
But we can't let Paul get the last word, with Luke wanting to encourage you all to come down to the Yarra Glen Football Ground this Saturday for the Netball and Football Pride Cups.
Come down on Saturday at 10 a.m. I think the whole thing starts. At 4 p.m. is when the men's, like the actual Pride Cup, will be playing. But it's $10 per person, and $1 from every ticket sold will be going to the -18 LGBTI+ youth group. Honestly, just come down, support it, have a little bit of fun, bring the kids. It's going to be a really good day.
That was Paul and Luke Keedle from Yarra Glen, who will both be attending the Yarra Valley Pride Cup this Saturday at Yarra Glen Football Ground.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
And now it's time for The Informer's monthly Media Watch segment with Rachel Tyler-Jones.
I'm Rachel Tyler-Jones. Welcome to The Informer's Media Watch segment, looking at the highs and lows of Australian media coverage of issues relevant to the LGBTIQA plus community and the larger fight for equality. First up, Daily Mail Australia reported on the 15th of April on a proposed change to birth certificates in Queensland. The proposed change would allow parents to select options other than boy or girl on their child's birth certificate. Proposed options include intersex or non-binary. This would be a big step for babies born intersex who don't easily fit into the male-female binary. Daily Mail Australia chose to run with the headline,
"The Thought Police have gone way too far this time."
The use of this quote from Queensland's opposition leader as the headline sets the tone for the article, which doesn't leave any room for balanced news coverage. The author of the piece, Emily Pidgeon, opens with the statement,
"Including the gender of a baby boy or girl on a birth certificate could become a thing of the past under a proposed law."
The proposed law is looking to add a third gender category, not remove gender from birth certificates altogether. Pidgeon's claim that including gender on a birth certificate could be, quote unquote, a thing of the past is therefore baseless. Pidgeon then quotes the statistic that intersex people, in her words,
make up less than 2% of the world's population.
Pidgeon doesn't offer any further explanation as to why she included this statistic, but in the context of opposition leader Deb Frecklington's negative opinions on the proposal, the phrasing less than 2% reads as dismissive of the size of the intersex population in Australia. In fact, based on data from the United Nations and the Australian Bureau of Statistics, statistically speaking, there are likely to be over 423,000 intersex people living in Australia right now. Furthermore, in Australia, a baby is born intersex every 2 hours and 49 minutes. This legislation has the potential to avoid misgendering these children and should not be dismissed based on a perception that the fewer the number of Australians affected, the less we should care. Emma Pidgeon of the Daily Mail, your final score is as follows. -5 points for allowing an article with your name on it to go out with a clickbaity opinion-based headline on what is an ostensibly fact-based news article. And -10 points to the copy editor who wrote it. -10 points for opening with a baseless, blatantly inaccurate claim. And -20 points for poor use of statistics to dismiss the relevance of the intersex community in Australia. Next, to an article about your favourite radio station, Joy 94.9. The piece, written by Brody Carmody, was published on the 18th of April in The Age. The article's headline described Joy 94.9 as
Australia's first gay radio station.
While Joy is Australia's first and only gay radio station, it is equally Australia's lesbian, bi, trans and intersex radio station. Had Carmody performed a quick Google search, he would have seen that it's literally in our mission statement. Twice.
Joy 94.9 is an LGBTI volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse LGBTI communities.
Fairfax, how hard is it to use the acronym? It's an extra 2 letters. Representation matters, and headlining Joy as a gay radio station is reductive and inaccurate. Brody Carmody of The Age, your final score is as follows. 0 points for using the correct acronym in the body of your article, because that's the baseline that we expect. -20 points to the editor who felt so threatened by the acronym LGBTI that they fell back on calling Joy 94.9 a gay radio station. -10 more points if you used gay instead of LGBTI due to laziness and or because you thought it would get more clicks. That's just poor journalism. And now to sport, where the Daily Mail Australia once more features for all the wrong reasons. The article, published on the 6th of April, has no apparent author. The title of the article specifically claims that New Zealand weightlifter Laurel Hubbard would have a
25% advantage over her competitors at the Commonwealth Games
because she is transgender. The article centres on the expert opinion of New Zealand physiology professor Alison Heather. The body of the article reveals that what Professor Heather actually said was that male athletes can have an up to 25% advantage over female athletes in strength-based sports due to differences in physical development. At no point did Professor Heather claim that a transgender female athlete whose testosterone levels were lower than that of the average woman would have a 25% advantage over other female athletes. The Daily Mail Australia also failed to ask what difference medical interventions like sex reassignment surgery and hormone therapy might make to an athlete's body. Daily Mail, your final score is as follows. Minus 20 points for a misleading and inaccurate headline. And minus 50 points for either not asking or not reporting on questions that might have led to a balanced article. I would also like to give a dishonourable mention to every news organisation who dead-named Laurel Hubbard this month in coverage on the Commonwealth Games. Dead-naming is the practice of using a transgender person's birth name, an act which is generally seen as disrespectful and invalidating of that person's identity. A dishonourable mention to The Australian, The Sydney Morning Herald, Seven News, The Courier Mail, The West Australian, Fox News, SBS, and every other news organisation who dead-named Laurel Hubbard. In most cases, the article didn't even try to make the connection between the use of Laurel's birth name and the newsworthiness of the article, and not once did any of the articles that deadnamed the athlete acknowledge the harm this practice can cause. On a lighter note, I would also like to give a second dishonourable mention to the headline,
Man Says Painkillers Made Him Gay,
which ran across multiple news organisations, because obviously that's silly, but the writers, editors, readers, and even the man's family seem to know it. So I won't take any points, because the man really did say it, so A for accurate, if silly reporting. But it's not all bigotry, bias, and bad writing this month. In the midst of all the articles headlining the non-scientific opinion that Laurel Hubbard and other trans female athletes have a physical advantage, Tracy Holmes at the ABC published an article debunking many of these myths. Tracy, you systematically took on and debunked some of the most prevalent myths about transgender athletes when those around you hadn't bothered to do that work. Your use of expert opinion and scientific data puts those quoting biased opinions from quote-unquote interested parties to shame. Plus 50 points for telling the untold side of the story and for doing it with facts. This is another example of good journalism to which we in the media should all aspire. I'm Rachel Tyler-Jones, and you've been listening to The Informer's monthly Media Watch segment, looking at the highs and lows of Australian media coverage of issues relevant to the LGBTIQA plus community and the larger fight for equality.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media, at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Tom Morgan.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.